The message you are about to listen to is a warm revelation from God's heart to ensure you win in all battles of life in this end time. Stay put as God's servant, Brother DG David Olariwaju, brings God's word to prove your championship.
I dare not trust the sweet.
You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Jehovah. You are worthy to be glorified. Well, let's sing it like you mean it now. You are worthy, so worthy. You are worthy, oh Almighty God. You are worthy to be glorified. You are you are worthy. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Jehovah. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Lord. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. You alone deserve all our worship and adoration. Thank you for the privilege to be seated at the feet of Jesus, to be set and ready to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, we commit today into your hand. Bless us by the revelation and understanding of your word. Beyond revelation, let there be impartation. Thank you, Ancient of Days. None of us will return the same. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. God bless you. I welcome you to the School of Peak Leadership. Since the 15th of June 2013, we have been taking on leadership series. And as God will help us, by next week, Saturday, we should be done with the School of Peak Leadership. And take it or leave it, deliverers are imagined. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor you are privileged to be here today. Okay, today we are going to be treating a very significant topic, balancing career and ministry. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Balancing career and ministry. We have quite a number of people that are involved in career and also involved in ministry. And we have heard quite a number of stories of men and women of God who were involved in career and also involved in ministry. How were they able to create a balance? How were they able to balance the ruggedity of ministry and the demand of career? Praise God. There are quite a number of people that are career people and they don't come to church anymore. In fact, their work is so demanding that they don't come to church. So the only thing the church uses them for is whenever there's a project, we just call on them, they give us money. Praise God. But is that the way it works? Is that the way it's meant to be? So many questions are going to be answered today by the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I'd like us to follow me and let's get the details and the nitty-gritties. Now, we are going to be there are two sessions we are going to be handling today. The first session, I'm going to be dealing with career. Then the second session, we'll go into the ministry aspect and help us see how to balance it. Praise God. Now, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that wisdom has built her seven pillars. Let me put this straight to you. You cannot fulfill ministry in this end time without wisdom. There are two major capacities in the word of God. We have power and we have wisdom. Elijah was a man of power. Elisha was a man of wisdom. Praise God. Elijah was a man of power. Elisha was a man of wisdom. What wisdom we do, power cannot do it. And I heard a wise man say, power in the hand of a foolish man is dangerous. What a minister operating in wisdom will provoke. A minister operating in power will not provoke it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You can see a minister operating in signs and wonders, operating in the miraculous, yet he's not living in abundance. Have you ever seen such people before? Wisdom will provoke what power cannot provoke. So, in any setting, any career, any society, there are seven. What's the problem now? In any society, there are seven spheres of influence, seven careers or category of careers where you can find people. And the Bible calls these spheres of influence mountains. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, he said, in the last days, the Lord will exalt his mountain above all mountains and hills, and all nations will flow therein. That means there's something called the mountain of the Lord's house. There are also other mountains. So in scripture and in every society, there are seven mountains. These seven mountains are seven spheres of influence or seven categories of careers where you can find people. Praise the Lord. We have the family mountain. Anyone that is married and has a family is into the family mountain. Praise the Lord. We have the government / political mountain. There are people called into government and politics. I've said this here before and I'm going to repeat it. There are people in the church that God has engraced them and anointed them to be in the political sphere. And I'll give you a brief into what the end time church is meant to be. The end time church is meant to be a church where politicians come to be blessed of God and go back to their politics. Now, when I say politics, I need you to understand that politics is not a dirty game. If the people in politics are bad, politics will be bad. If the people in politics are good, politics will be good. Yes or no? If a bad man is into business, he will do his business badly. If a good man is into business, he will do his business how? In a good way and a godly way. So the people determine the structure of their involvement, of their business, or of their career. So God has made provision for people in government and politics. That's why the Bible says in New Testament, it says that we should honor and uphold those that are in government. Praise the Lord. So in every society, God expects that some people are into government and in politics. God also makes reservation for arts and entertainment. There's the arts and entertainment mountain. There are people that are called into this mountain. There's the media mountain. I'm into media. Quite a number of people are into media. There's the business mountain. Praise the Lord. There's the business mountain. People here are into business. I'm into business. Quite a number of us are into business. People are called into that sphere. Some people are called into the education mountain. That's the sixth. Then finally, we have the church movement. Praise the Lord. These are the seven mountains. When the Bible says in Proverbs, it says that wisdom has built as seven pillars. These are seven pillars of the society. Every church that is going to be a contemporary church must be helping its people to build capacity and character in all these spheres. Because in every complete church, there are people called to be ministers in the church movement. There are people called to go into academia. There are people called to go into business. There are people called to go into media. There are people called to go into arts and entertainment. There are people called to go into government. And there are people called to go into the family sphere. And I think this church is one of those churches that you'll find people in all these areas. Praise the Lord. So if this church is going to be maximizing what God is doing in this end time, the church must bring teachings, capacity, and character development in all these areas. Praise the Lord. So these are seven pillars of any society. Let's go to the next slide. Now, your relevance, before I go on, I'd like to say this. You have a responsibility to identify which mountain you are called into, which area you are called into. Develop yourself in that area and ensure that you lead in that area. If you are called into church movement, you are called as a pastor, as you are called to have a church, you are called into the church mountain. You have a responsibility to develop yourself in ministry and come to a level where you are actually leading in that area. If you are called into academics, like those of us that are lecturers called into, you have a responsibility to make sure that in academics you grow to a level where you can actually lead. When you talk, people listen to you as a believer. One of the major problems we have in our society is we have people, representatives of the kingdom of darkness, leading in all these spheres of influence. We have bad people leading in politics. When a bad man is in power, what did the Bible say will happen? When the Bible says something, it says when an evil man is in power, what happens? The people suffer. When a good man is in power, what happens? The people rejoice. So, who is the good man and who is the bad man? The good man is that person that is in church, that is a believer, that God has called into the political sphere, and he goes into his calling. And he rises to the top because he must make sure that God's kingdom rules in politics. So if you are called into business, you must rise to the top as a business tycoon and make sure that God's will rules in business. Praise the Lord. If you are called into academia, you must rise to the top, not just your master's, you must do your PhD and become any height that is necessary to make sure that God's kingdom rules in the academic sphere. Do we understand? Do we get it? So your relevance is a function of your level of understanding. That's the understanding we're having today. Knowing the trends and problems and solutions associated with the season puts you in command of that season. Now, there are problems that people in academics have. There are problems that people in business have. There are problems that people in church have. Whatever area that God has called you into, you have a responsibility to make sure you go there as a solution provider. That's what puts you in command. Next slide. Now, I want us to understand this season. I've gone over this teaching before, but I thought it necessary that I go over it today again before we go into the main topic. If you don't understand the season we are in, you cannot command the season. You cannot lead in this season. Now, permit me to say this. Somebody asked, why are we having so many new churches? Go and ask God, why in the book of Numbers, when Moses was still the prophet, why did he raise Phinehas? I'll tell you why. You see, when you refuse to do what God tells you to do, he will raise somebody else. When the churches that have been deviate from the purpose and the calling of God, God will not quench them immediately. God will raise somebody else that will do it. When Saul deviated from purpose, Saul was alive. God raised David. Praise the Lord. Eli was still alive when God raised Samuel. That's how it is with God. Now, the problem, one of the problems we have in the church today is this. We refuse to understand that God operates in times and seasons. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, it's talking about the sons of Issachar. He said that the sons of Issachar understood times and seasons, though so they led. The sons of Issachar was one of the smallest tribes, but whenever Israel needed to do anything, they came to them because they understood times and seasons. Now, it is necessary for us to understand what God is doing per season. If not, God will have left the strategy that you are using. I want to pray that God will not leave us behind. Now, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, God said, forget ye the former things. He said, behold, that means realize, discover, I do a new thing. The former things that God is telling you to forget, he's the one that did them. And everything that God does, they are what? They are marvelous in our eyes. He says, God parted the sea. This is the way God always parted the sea. He said, I parted the sea, but this is not the way I want to do it this time around. When Moses was alive, God parted the sea during the days of Moses, yes or no? When Elijah was alive, God parted the sea, yes or no? When it was Jesus' turn, God did not pass the sea. Jesus walked upon the sea. God operates in seasons and in times. You must understand God's strategy per season to be able to lead. If you go and say this is the way, no. God is not restricted to what you think. So leadership is season functional. It's a function of seasons. It is possible that a church is leading last year, this year. If the church refuses to update herself with God's strategy, the church will not lead. Another church that understands God's ways will lead. That's how it is in the kingdom. That's why in the kingdom of God, in the supernatural, overtaking is allowed. The Bible says that the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He tugged in his cloak and he ran ahead of the chariots of Ahab into Jezreel. He ran with his two legs. He overran chariots. Now, I want us to understand the season we are in. Because whatever career that God has called you into, you must understand what God is doing in this season. If not, you can't lead. Praise the Lord. Now, Luke 21, 20 to 21 says, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains." Flee to the what? Flee to the what? Mountains. I just talked to you about mountains. "Let they that are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of there into." I underline to explain them. Now, when you see soldiers, you discover that we are in a new season. That she is affected. If you are living, run where? For that S there, for that hills. In the city. Get out. If you are out of the fields, boom, to get your coats. The next slide. We want to break down that scripture. Talks about the end time. Judea. Upright Publishing House is Judea. Because we run our businesses, but we are affiliated to the church. We pay our tithes here. We come to church to be blessed. Do you understand? We come that they pray that God will bless our business. Let all of you that are affiliates, an organization affiliated to the church, flee. Flee things. Let men go into that I have called them into. Go into what God is telling us. You notice the pulpit. When you notice that the church corrupted, go and represent me. Many of us think that it is when we come to church. Lie. How many of you know that? God's presence is in my business. God's presence is in my family. God's presence is in politics if you carry it there. God's presence is in school, is on campus if you carry it there. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next slide. Now, we are called to go as deliverers into the career world. Take your attention away from four walls of the church and go as a representative of Christ into the mountains, into the spheres of influence, and represent me. That's what Jesus is saying. There is a solid link between ministry and career. I've heard people say this. Oh boy, leave that thing. Oh, this one na business. That one na church. It's a life on the pit of hell. Oh boy, leave that thing. This one na exam. Oh, this one na school. That one na church. It's a life on the pit of hell. Scripture gives us balance from Luke chapter 20, 20 to 21. That God's concentration is no more the four walls of any church. God's concentration is evangelism in the career place. In the various spheres of influence. Listen to me. God is beginning to build a new set of politicians that will run politics God's way. Now let me give you. There's a country called Guatemala. I've mentioned this here before. Guatemala is a small nation. And in that nation, there is no prison. The last prison was closed down some years ago because the government discovers that they were wasting money to run it. Nobody goes there. The people don't commit crime. Nobody goes there. The people in politics are good. Politics is not bad. The people are bad. That's why it is bad. Go to Guatemala, you see good politics. Then you tell me that it is not politics. Nigeria can become like that if the people become good. If we take our concentration away from the four walls and take ministry to our workplace, take ministry into our offices, take ministry into our business centers, take ministry into our classrooms and represent God there. And that's where leadership comes. Go back. Each sphere of influence is in need of men and women who will arise to profile and implement solutions to the challenges confronting men in all career and in all spheres of influence. My question to you today is, I'm going to go for a short break and I'll come back for the second part. But before then, my question is this. We're going to be revealing the secrets that you need to balance ministry and take it to your career place. But before then, I'm going to ask you, will you be one of those people that will go and discover that I'm called into the academic sphere? I like to review this. I personally, I'm called into the academic sphere. That's why I am there. But I understand that I'm not just a lecturer, I'm not just a trainer. I'm an agent of change. And by God's grace, some of the people you see here are proofs that even within months, God has helped us. There must be a change on campus. I'm not going there to teach them computer. That's secondary. First, I am a deliverer. First, I am a believer. And because there are people that need the Jesus in me, even on campus, I make sure that things are done my way. I don't collect bribe. I don't chase the students as my other colleagues do. My colleagues do, and I know. They know that I know. But I'm not there to do that. I'm meant to instead help the students to achieve academic soundness and also spiritual soundness. And that God is helping us to do. That's what we are called to do everywhere we are. Whether in the political sphere or in the business sphere or in the church sphere. Now let me drop here with this. God has taken his attention away from the four walls of the church. That is why the church is polluted. If you do not believe that God right now is in the career sphere, I put this to you. If God is still in the church wouldn't be polluted. Praise the Lord. And if God is still in the church, that the only place where we meet God is in church, then we won't have people in the business field doing great for Jesus. Today, there's a church, I think it's today or next Saturday, there's a church in Makurdi here doing outreach. A medical doctor, a professor of medicine in BSU is doing an outreach today, and he's doing it in the church. They'll heal you, and they'll also give you drugs if you need, and counseling. That is fulfilling ministry in medicine. And some people are waiting to come to church on Tuesday before they meet God. That's a lie. I put it to you, God has left the four corners. God is on the street. Ministry is no more in the church. Ministry is in the marketplace. And that's why for those of us that are called into ministry, I see ministry as a marketplace. I am doing ministry on the go. I'm not doing ministry when I come to church. Praise the Lord. Because God has taken ministry beyond the four walls of this church. Please, I'd like you to rise up. Let us pray briefly before we go into the next part. I'd like you to open your mouth and pray. Lord, open my eyes to the sphere of influence, to the mountain you have called me into. If you do not discover where God has called you into, you are going to be perambulating. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Lord, open my eyes that I may see, that I may discover the area you have called me into, that I will not waste my time. Lord, help me
in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Can we please have our seats? We thank our
already. And you'll finish that which you have started. In Jesus' name. Balancing Career and Ministry Part 2. Now, I'd like us to check. You know, as believers, whatever we do, you must be sure that you have proof from Scripture. You must be sure. Even when you hear God's voice, or you hear a voice. You must be able to weigh it by scripture. Hello? You must be able to weigh what you hear in scripture to be sure that this is God. God will never contradict his word. So we want to see in scripture, do we have any example of someone that was involved in career and ministry? That's a very serious question. Because we cannot just come up with topics and say, balance career and ministry. We must know what we are doing, that it is according to God's word. We don't just cook up topics because we think something and all of that, you know. So let's look at Acts 18, 1-4. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. Paul came unto Aquila and Priscilla. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. Because he was of the same occupation and career, he abode with them. And wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Praise God. Now, this scripture reveals to us that Paul was a career and a ministry person. Paul was a businessman. Now, you see, I want to say some things. I love Paul so much. One of the reasons why I love Paul is, one of the reasons why I love Paul is, you see, in the New Testament, Paul had a level of effectiveness in ministry that he almost shares the New Testament with Jesus. His writings. Praise God. And this man never, he did not stay with Jesus like the other apostles. Praise the Lord. But thank God he had a face-to-face encounter with Christ. But he had an effectiveness and greatness in ministry that the others did not have. And so by God's grace, we'll be looking, using the life of Paul to assess, how can a man do business or do career and ministry and have that kind of effectiveness? That's what we want to see today. That's what we are looking into, balancing career and ministry. Go back, please. He was a tent maker. This means when Paul went on missionary trips, he was doing tent making. He was doing tent making and ministry. The Bible says, by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned. He was tent making and reasoning in scripture. He was doing career. Holy Spirit. He went to Corinth. He met Aquila and Priscilla. They were doing business and ministry. Praise God. Isn't this wonderful? See, when the Spirit of God showed me this in scripture, my spirit was high. And yet, he had the kind of proof that others didn't have. Permit me to say this. Apart from reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath, whenever someone came to do business with Paul, he preached to them. He used his office to preach. Listen to me. See, we cannot fulfill the Great Commission without career ministry. Because some people will never come to your church. Do you know that? Some people will never come. Never. And they need your Jesus. They will never. And they need Jesus. And you need to preach to them. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel that is in your mouth. So if we still live in a mentality that it is in church, is a lie. God is no more there. God is in the marketplace. The pulpit is in the marketplace. It's no more here. It's in the marketplace. And those that have gotten this understanding from Luke chapter 20, 20 to 21, they are doing signs and wonders in the legal field. They are doing signs and wonders in the medical field. They are doing signs and wonders in politics. They are doing signs and wonders in business. Listen. People of the world are taking kingdom principles. They are using it to transform their lives. People of the kingdom are not. Praise the Lord. Dangote is using kingdom principles to run business. Kingdom people are not. The former prime minister of Singapore, within how many years? Was it 3 years or 13 years? I can't really get it. He transformed the economy of Singapore. Praise the Lord. He transformed, he's not a believer, he transformed the economy of Singapore, learning principles from America. America started those, got those principles from the Bible. So they came to copy it, and they used it. Kingdom principles, transfer of knowledge, they use it. They are not believers. We are still waiting in the four corners, thinking this is where ministry is. Ministry is no more here. In one of leadership series, I differentiate our ministry. Remember? You know, around that day. One of these Saturdays, I differentiated between kingdom service and ministry. There are two. Many of us think kingdom service is different from kingdom service. Example from scripture that God is our ministry. And those that do career ministry. Let's go. What do to career and ministry? Career ministry. How do I, when do I balance career and ministry? Go on. Acknowledge that minister. I don't know if understand what it means to be a lay minister. Esther, do you understand? A lay minister. If I ask Moses, I'm a lay minister, what does it mean? A lay minister is someone that is involved in ministry. That's a lay minister. Now, you see, and that if his mentality, you know, it is possible for you to even be involved in career, any form of career is a lay minister. Be a lay minister without, I'm a lay minister. I'm a lecturer, but on this campus. I'm here to bring academic outcomes to as many that God, praise the Lord. Carry that mentality, that, or in politics, I'm also a minister mountain that God has put. The Bible says in Obadiah, it says that deliverers shall arouse on Mount Zion, that's in God's kingdom, and they will go to the Mount of Esau and they will judge it. That means we'll arise here on Sunday and we'll go to our business places on Monday and we'll declare God's kingdom. We'll act, we'll deal with our business, our customers God's way. We'll relate with them, we'll distribute tracts, and we'll communicate the life of Jesus to them. We'll be different from our competitors because everybody is duping them. We are not duping them. Praise the Lord. We'll run our career by kingdom principles. Praise the Lord. And one day somebody will come and ask us, has someone ever asked you that question? Which church do you go to? You know the world. Listen, the way to bring the world back is career ministry. By plea of grace, I've been asked that question. Sir, which church do you go to? Because of the life you live in your career place. Those Christians that differentiate church and ministry from their career, they can never maximize the coming of Christ. It's not possible. They are living in those days that God said, forget it, the former things. What God has forgotten is what they are living by. Praise the Lord. Understand that you are a lay minister. One who represents God in the career place. I am a representative of God on this campus. I'm a representative of God in business. I'm a representative of God in this political party. We must do it God's way. That's it. I'm a representative of God in this courthouse. We must judge according to kingdom principles. I'm a representative of God in this hospital. We must treat the patient God's way. I've said it and I'm going to say it again. And it's already happening. Days are here when doctors will lay hand on their patients. There is no medical prescription for the disease and the ailment. He will lay hand upon his patient. The patient will receive healing. He will still pay his hospital bill because this hospital is Holy Ghost Hospital. Representing Christ in the career place. Tell me if that, whether the person is a Muslim or a jihadist, if he will not come, he will ask the doctor, what church do you attend? Until they start asking you that question, you are not yet fulfilling career place ministry. Until people repeatedly ask you that question, sir, which church do you attend? You have not started. Understand that you're a career person, one called like Apostle Paul to do ministry beyond the four walls of the church. One called to do ministry beyond the four walls of your denomination. Listen. Denomination is the strategy of the devil to bring division in the house of God. I'm not a denomination man. I don't belong to any denomination. I'm a representative of the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible tells me. Praise the Lord. We have been called to do ministry beyond the four walls. Beyond the four walls. Beyond the four walls. And until you see yourself as a kingdom person, not as a denomination person, you can't fulfill career place ministry. Please go on. Because if you see yourself as a denomination person, if your denomination does not go to one career, you will believe that you are not sent today. Praise the Lord. Now, two main keys for successful lay ministry. Wisdom and sacrifice. Somebody say wisdom. Somebody say sacrifice. You know, I talked about wisdom the other time. Wisdom has so many definitions. Literally, wisdom is doing things God's way. They say that wisdom is application of knowledge. But spiritually, wisdom is beyond that. Wisdom is doing anything you are doing the way that God says you should do it. Wisdom is implementing God's strategy. And God's strategy for end time redemption is career place ministry. We need wisdom. Colossians 4:5-6, he says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Do you know what that means? Anytime God gives you the privilege to come in contact with an unbeliever, see, some unbelievers will never enter the church, yes or no? And we are sent to them, yes or no? One of the places they'll meet us is in our business place. Anytime God gives you privilege to come across them, redeem the time. Maximize the opportunity. Don't dupe them. Be nice to them. Your aim is to win them. Praise the Lord. See, listen to me. If in your business a customer does not come back to you, check your approach. If in business a customer buys from you today and doesn't come back, even though the customer comes around, doesn't buy from you again, check. There was a fault. You didn't treat the person better. Now, let me say this. There's a place I do computer works at high level. Someone criticized me one day that, why don't I go to Madame's place? Madame. I said, this place I'm going to, they are treating me very well. The power of preserving customers. They treat me well. In fact, they give me discounts. They treat me like a lord. So I'm not compelled to leave them. It's not that I don't want to do it here, but I'm satisfied here. Do you understand? I'm satisfied here. And that's how it is. Anytime God brings you in contact with unbelievers, which will most likely be in your career, not in your church. Do you understand? Redeem the time. Walk in wisdom. It says, let your speech be always with grace. Be careful what you say, even if you are angry. Be careful how you treat them. Let them see a life in you that is different from that of your competitors and that is different from them. Let somebody come to a level where you ask you, madam, which church do you attend? Serious question. Students ask me in school, Esther, which church do you attend? I say, I attend the church of the kingdom of God. Praise God. I think this is the first time you are doing my church. I think you've asked me that question before. Either you or you. Yes, are we church you attend? I attend the church of the kingdom of God. Because I don't want them to be chasing my church. Let them chase my Jesus. That's what has transformed me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our focus should be to call people into Christ, not into a denomination. Praise the Lord. What is marveling them about me is Jesus, not the church I attend. Praise God. If we didn't take ministry to career, they wouldn't be asking that question. If you just, my friend, what's going to your students? My friend, back yourself away from this place. You see that big head. They'll be disturbing us. You go there, you teach them, give them fail marks. You say, you fail. If you had failed, get out. They say, Mr. D, my friend, get out of this place. They say, oh boy, this man is not born again. He's a liar. You're the good church. Praise the Lord. So whenever we need wisdom to always redeem the time, be careful. God may be bringing someone to your office today. Let them see Christ in you. Redeem the time. Tell your neighbor, redeem the time. The second thing is sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. Hey, 1 Corinthians 9, 12 to 22. Paul said, for though I be free from all men, I'm not under obligation to do anything to suit you. Yet, I have made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. Yeshua. It takes sacrifice to be a lay minister. There is a better offer for you. God says you should stay there. It's sacrifice. Stay there and transform their lives. It's sacrifice. Do you know what sacrifice is? Sacrifice is consciously depriving yourself of present benefits in order to obtain something in future that you see that others do not. Sacrifice is consciously, deliberately saying no to what will make you hammer now in order to reap something in the nearest future. Sacrifice is deliberate and it is conscious. You don't fall into sacrifice. You do it by yourself. God told Abraham, go to Mount Moriah. Hey, let me remind you. You know, God and Abraham, they are friends. The Bible says they are friends. Yes or no? Imagine the day that God came and Abraham was just having a good time and God just said, Abraham, I say, God, how now? How you day? I they come. Make I wash this cloth finish. He was washing. He said, how you day now? How in Jamaica? You don't tell me I say in Jamaica, hello. I've been greeting. Next time where you go, he say, I will greet him. He say, Abraham, I won't see you. He say, God, I come back. No vex. Let's say, my friend, just finish. He say, what's going to happen now? Come, most troll. They were just strolling. God said, Abraham, there's something I want to tell you. Tell me now. I get here. And God said, Abraham, you see that your son? Isaac, now my son now. What's happened? Now your own. He say, sacrifice that your son to me. He say, stop that joke. Stop that joke. You don't see my red eye before. Stop. Don't talk to him again. He said, Isaac. He said, Abraham, that's your son that you love. Your only son. Go to Mount Moriah, not your backyard, and sacrifice him to me. And I could imagine God walk away. And you know, there's this film we watched. I don't know if any of you has watched that film. That place was acted. In that film, Abraham was scattering the whole place. Out of anger. I mean, what kind of nonsense is this? How will God be telling me to go and sacrifice my son? But he went. Now, you know, sacrifice is very powerful. Because Mount Moriah is far from where he stays. When God wants you to do what you need to do, he will give you long rope. Do you know they could have been going on the road and everyone will say, nonsense. My friend, let's go back home. What are you talking? Let's go back. But through the journey, he kept on to sacrifice. See, lay ministry is sacrificial. I don't want to go into personal details now, but lay ministry demands sacrifice. Many times even demands foregoing profits in order to keep the soul. I'm telling you. Lay ministry is sacrificial. He says, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, I had to go down to their level in order to win them. They were bricklayers, and what they were eating was akara and bread for 7 days. And God laid in my heart that I needed to reach them. I ate it with them, even when my wife was cooking or her soup, in order to gain them. It was not my desire to go on that trip, but because God laid it on my heart, I had to leave my business area and my profits in order to win them. Lay ministry is sacrificial. It demands leaving that which you have desire to go after that which God desires. We have our churches full of people that like their comfort zone, so they are not involved in lay ministry. For me, the place I am now, I would have preferred not to be there. I would have. But in order to win there that God has laid in our hearts, we go. Praise the Lord. Two main keys for success in lay ministry. Wisdom. Walk in wisdom. On my campus, I asked one Muslim. He's always sending me Bible quotes through my phone. I said, this guy is a Muslim now. Is this guy born again? Sometimes I'll hear him, he will say some Muslim things, as in face to face. I will send me, I say, come. They know him. Let me not mention his name. They say, come. Are you a Muslim? Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian now. This your smile does not show you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you will smile like this. He was a Muslim, and recently I sent a message on one of our interactive medias, and he answered me, and I told him the message got him, and I said to Jesus. Now, the truth is, Muslim, not scared to tell them bold than Christians. Many of them are bold than Christians. Praise the Lord. They are bold than Christians. The reason why, I discovered the reason why they come out plainly to me. Lord. Praise the Lord. Your life. Carry the ministry as a minister, as a fulfilled ministry. Tell your name. So where do you fulfill ministry? Your office shop will be in workplace ministry. Do something ever done on you. The place where Jesus is office, Peter. Where did Jesus meet Peter? Shebe, that was Peter. Imagine Jesus enter your office. That was where he met him. The Bible gave Peter a business breakthrough and fell down and followed him. Praise the Lord. Jesus did. He did not meet him in church, in the synagogue. Involved in workplace. He converted the office. The first discipline in his office. Jesus met office. Peter Fishing Corporation. Amen. It was not in church. Jesus is our first example. Listen, let me tell you this. God is in career fields. He's in mountains. He's calling men like Peter today. He's appointing men like Paul the Apostle. And they're doing great things for God in their career fields. How did full gospel start? It was to career people, not church. Look at how far God has taken that ministry today. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Ministry is about meeting needs, meet the need of people. How do you do this? Partner with a ministry that is already reaching out to people in your field. Or initiate and continue a weekly workplace fellowship. Start a fellowship if there's none in your workplace. Praise the Lord. Start a what? Fellowship if there's none. In your business center, in your workplace. For the people around you, because they have needs. And ministry is about meeting needs. If you cannot start, partner with us, Real Leadership Academy. We do tracks, we do publications, we hold conferences, we reach out, we distribute food, we do things to reach out. If you know that you cannot start, be involved in one way or the other. Be involved in one way or the other. Partner with those that are already doing it. If you know that it is not laid on your heart to start it, praise the Lord. extend other people's ministry to your workplace. Hey, I heard that you people do an outreach to business people. Come and be using our place. We'll give you time and we'll do publicity for you. Partner with others. Bring Jesus into your boats. Your boats is your workplace. Bring Jesus into your boats. Your boat is your workplace. Next slide. When do you do workplace ministry? Now. Because Jesus Christ is coming very soon. And your workplace is one of those places that he will check out to see what you have done with what he has given to you. Haven't you realized that in the Bible, in Matthew chapter, is it 25? That concerning the parable of talents, the Bible did not say that the Lord gave them churches. It says the Lord gave them what? Talents. What are these talents? Occupations. Things they could trade in. And when the master came back, he asked them, what have you done? God will ask you, what have you done with the lecturing work I gave to you? God will ask you, what have you done with the company I gave to you? Have you used it as a boat or you have just used it to acquire profits? Serious question. God will judge us in our workplaces. God will judge us with the investments he has given to us. God will judge us with the talents and careers. God will ask us what you have done with media. I'm telling you. God will ask you what you have done with teaching. God will ask me what I've done with business. God will ask you, I've given you a career. Have you made it into a ministry? Have you been doing workplace ministry? Didn't you see my example that I met Peter in his workplace? Didn't you see Paul the apostle that he was a tent maker? He was a businessman and a ministry person. What have you done with that which I've put into your care? I'd like you to reach out to people. Christ is coming soon, and the people in your workplace matter to Jesus. Reach out to them. Start a workplace ministry. Be a lay minister. Partner with other ministries that are into workplace ministry. Lead the change in your workplace. Next slide. Don't forget, I repeat again, there are 7 spheres of influence. And God is interested in these 7 spheres. Every man or woman you see on the street is involved in at least 1 sphere. And God has plans for every one of them. The pulpit is no more in the church. It is in this sphere. Let's take ministry into the spheres that God has called us into. Let's take it into the family sphere. Let's take it into politics. Let's take it into arts and entertainment. Let's take Jesus into media. Let's take Jesus into business. Let's take Jesus into education. And let's take Jesus into ministry and church movement. Because people therein have needs. So what's your field? Ask your neighbor, what's your field? What field are you called into? You can lead in that field. Get trained at the School of Peak Leadership and God bless you. I'd like us to rise up and pray. Don't you think it's necessary that we pray? Rise up, let us pray. Lord, fill me with wisdom for effective lay ministry. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. Lord, fill me with wisdom to redeem the time. Fill me with wisdom, Lord, Father, to live a life that whatever you have placed into my hand, I will use it for the propagation of your gospel. Fill me with wisdom, Lord, to transform my sphere of influence, oh God, into a tool in your hand. Fill me with wisdom for effective lay ministry. Lord, help me, Lord, Father, to live a life that propagates your gospel. A life that brings men into your kingdom. Lord, fill me with grace and tenacity. Show me the way to go, to do my business, to do my teaching, to do the ministry, to do my career. Lord, Father, and bring men unto you. As you will be bringing me in contact with unbelievers and all kinds of people, let them see you through me. Let them see your life through me. Lord, help me to be an effective, an efficient, and a profitable and a fruitful lay minister. Lord, as a student, make me a change agent. Make me a tool in your hand. Make me a tool in your hand. Let me not remain the same. Make me a tool in your hand, oh God. Let me not remain the same. Make me a tool, oh God, in your hand. Make me a tool, Lord, in your hand. Make me an effective lay minister. Lord, cause me to be profitable. 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 Lord, cause me to be fruitful. Baptize me with your spirit of wisdom. Baptize me with your spirit of wisdom. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. I'd like us to pray for the grace for sacrificial living. Listen, let me tell you something. The definition of sacrifice is deliberately foregoing again today in order to obtain something better in the future. If you are not sacrificial, you can't be effective in lay ministry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Imagine someone comes into your office and wants to do business with you, and the person tells you, I'm going to pay 78,000. You say it's 92. And you know that 78,000 is actually how much you bought it. But you know that if you win this person as a customer, you can actually penetrate into the person's life and transform the person. You say, okay, why don't you add 2,000? Ah, madam, 2,000. Okay, buy it. Thank you very much. The person goes, the person will come back. God brought, or you now say, this thing is 92,000. If you know they buy it, they go, abeg, go carry your waka, go yourself waka. Someone just annoyed you. You say, if you know they buy it, go carry your waka, abeg. Yeah. An opportunity beyond profits just came. You allowed it to go. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is constantly bringing men and women our ways for us to change them. We are going to pray, Lord, give me grace for sacrificial living. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. Lord, grant me grace to live a life of sacrifice. Grant me grace, oh God, to live a life of sacrifice. Let me not, Lord, let me not eat today and kill the future. Let me not consume the seeds you are putting into my hand. Lord, grant me grace. Grant me grace, Lord, for sacrificial living. In Jesus' precious name. Lastly, I'd like us to pray. Lord, let me not throw away the seeds you are giving to me today. Let me not waste the opportunities. As you grant me opportunities for growth in life, in ministry, in business, let me not waste them. Open your mouth and pray. Lord, open my eyes to the opportunities you are giving to me. Let me not be blind to opportunities. Let me not be blind to opportunities. Lord, grant me wisdom. Open my eyes that I will see what, Lord, you are giving unto me. Let me not be blind to opportunities. Thank you, glorious God. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed.
We believe you are blessed. Reach us for counseling, prayers, and inquiries on these numbers: 070-3800-2888 or 080-3451-6623. Keep winning.